Okay, there's a lot of transition happening. Okay, good morning, church. Yeah, so as we are all preparing for this beauty in diversity, okay, there is always so much that God fills us with, you know, new revelations, new insights. Last week, anyone remembers what was the sermon on?
Growing deeper.
Very good. Growing deeper, right? So we grow deeper and deeper in Christ and knowing Christ and in loving Him. Today, I was thinking that, you know, as during the week, we were thinking that, you know, how do we grow deeper? Until and unless we are not spiritually inclined, or how do we know that we are growing deeper? And until and unless we are not spiritually healthy, okay? So, let's pray and ask God to help us to build our spiritual appetite so that we become spiritually healthy. So, we'll just pray. Father God, we want to give this time into your hands and we pray for each one of us here, O Lord. At whatever stage we are in our spiritual health, O Lord, we pray, O Lord God, that you'll build us up, you'll nourish us, and Lord, may we have the eyes of the Spirit to see how our spiritual health is and to grow in it more and more, O Lord God. We surrender this time. We pray that, Lord, we hear from you and we implement it, O Lord, now and in the days to come, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we all know that we have to go grow, basically, spiritually healthy. Alright, now when God made us, okay, he made us into, how did he make us? He made us into three beings, like body, mind, like your emotions, and your spirit, right? So when I say body, what do you need for your body to be healthy?
Food.
And how do you know that this food is good or bad or healthy, not healthy? I know you all will feel hungry suddenly. So what all can we see here? Is it healthy food, unhealthy food?
Healthy
food. But there are sometimes temptations, right, to have something unhealthy. So we call it a cheat day, right? We say, theek hai yaar. You know, sometimes we just have one, you know, some chips or some burger or some pizza. And we neglect what is actually healthy for us, right? And sometimes we may not even want to exercise or not even think about our health because we feel, theek hai, I am okay, I am just there, like, you know, my weight is okay, my body is okay, I don't need to exercise. But we do so much, right, to keep our body healthy. We think so much. Suppose if there is an imbalance in our diet or in our health, suppose if we feel feverish or something, what do? We go to the doctor, we go to a dietitian, we go to a, you know, physiotherapist, just to make us feel better, feel healthier, right? So how much more? So imagine our body is immortal, our body is very mortal, like, you know, it is very temporary and we take care of it so much. But imagine God has given us a spirit which is eternal. Okay, so I'll come to that, why we call the spirit eternal and body not eternal. Okay, so our spirit is eternal. How much more should we take care of our spiritual health, you know, than, like, you know, how we take care of our physical health? So can we tell our neighbor, my spiritual health is equally important? Yes. Just like you eat your healthy diet, you have your exercises, and sometimes you even have self-control over your diet. You say, no, I cannot eat this. I have seen many people come to our house and say, you want juice? No, no, no. I cannot have juice. Okay. And how much ever you force them, they have that self-control over them. And then, because they're so conscious about their health, in a similar way, spiritually also, we need to implement. So, it is very well much connected when we say spiritual health. Okay. So, that was just to bring us to awareness that we are also spiritual beings. Now, so we are flesh but also spiritual beings. It is also important to start from where it all began. Okay, for some of us it will be a revision, like you know from where it all began, but for some of us it will be all new. Oh, really? God made me spiritual, God gave me a spiritual being, and we will look at it as to how it is important. Now, one question I would like to ask each one of us: do we have a living spirit or a dead spirit? Living or dead? Are you sure? Okay. So how do we know about it? Okay, that whether my spirit is living or whether my... Because in order to have a healthy lifestyle or a healthy spiritual, life, we need to know whether my spirit is living or not, right? I need to know whether my spirit is dead or alive. Then only I can feed. I cannot feed a dead body, right? I cannot feed. But I need to know how my spirit is living or not living. So we move on. So in the beginning, you know, what happened was, so let's start from the beginning. What happened was God made the creation, okay? And He made us body, mind and spirit, or body, soul and spirit. So each one of us has a body, each one of us has a soul. But what happened to the spirit is God wanted a communication, because God is a spirit. So He wanted a communication with us, fellowship with us. And He said, I'm going to do it with the spirit. And He said to Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, that obey, listen to my voice. If you do not do that, then you will surely die. That is, He placed a tree of life and death. And He also said that, you know, there is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of this. It's not because He didn't want us to have it, but He said there will be a time when I will, you know, allow you to do it. But then He did not say that. And what happened was, He said, you know, wait for your time or do not eat. But what happened? Man, as usual, very curious to know what it is, how it is, why it is, you know, and he went and he ate it. So then comes the story where your spirit is actually dead. Okay, can somebody read this quickly? Joshua is ready with the mic. So raise your hand if you are ready to read. Come on.
Yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work on the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there He put the man whom He had formed. Mm. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Then what happened was, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So till now, everything good. Everything is working fine. The spirit is living, alive, because he is actually commune with God. He is in union with God, with the spirit, right? So, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. What is this death? This is body, physical death. Spiritual death means I will have no conscience, or I will not, I will not be inclined to what God is telling me. I will do whatever I feel like. I will go on doing whatever I think is good for my body, for my soul. I will not nourish my spirit. I will, because my spirit is dead. You know, you cannot nourish a dead body. Dead thing. So that is why he said, you will surely die. Now what happens is, and they heard Okay, eventually what happened? They fell. And then there was this passage which says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Okay. Now, this situation can even arise today, where we are in middle of certain stuff or certain things that we are doing. And suddenly, you know, many times we ask, where am I? Why am I doing this? Why am I hurting people? Why? Like, you know, because many times God allows us to, you know, think that, you know, where are you? Where are you heading to? What are you doing? What is it? What is your spiritual state? Right? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Then God asked, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? You have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat. The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So you see how the spiritual death happened, where we started hiding from God. But God forever wanted us to have union with him, communicate with him, grow in his love, know him, fellowship with him. And he wanted us to be with him together. So there is a hopeless situation. Man died spiritually. So when we are dead in our spirit, when we are dead in our spirit, we cannot talk about growing spiritually. So we need to introspect. What, where are you? Can you ask a neighbor, where are you? Where are you? Okay. That means we are just saying that, okay, consciously I'm listening to the sermon, I'm praying, I'm doing this. But where am I? What am I doing? Am I alive? Am I dead in my spirit? And then only the process of spiritual growth will start. Once the spirit is alive, then I grow and grow and grow. But if I do not care about my spiritual health, or if I do not care whether my spirit is alive or not, I will be stuck like this only, blaming one person, the other person, doing my own thing, doing what I feel like. And then I will be like, what am I doing? Where am I? Why am I doing this? Right? So, the reason is, so now we are in this place. So now we all know, what are we? Where are we? What is the status of our spiritual life? Whether we are dead, we are alive, whether we are just coming up. Now Jesus and God, like, you know, God did not want this state of man. He still loved man, right? And he wanted to continue to have fellowship with man and, you know, talk to him, because he's a spiritual being. He wants us to be spiritually inclined to God. So I'm coming. Now I know that it is all basics and we are all thinking, okay, now what? Next, what is the next step? So we know that there is a reason that Jesus wanted to restore our spirit back into life. And therefore there was a reason for him to die on that cross. Because he said that, okay, you don't take the punishment, I will take the punishment, but there is one condition, that you need to be spiritually alive, okay, spiritually living, so that you once again have that communication with God and live like how Adam and Eve lived before the fall. So we have the same access to God because of Jesus Christ. And how did he do that? Where is it written in the Bible? What is it? So now we are coming to the real spiritual health. Now there is a story in the Bible. Okay. So there is a woman whom Jesus meets at the well. Okay. And there he describes that, you know, how we, though we are living, we need to have the living water in order to live, to grow and to nourish our spiritual man, so that we grow and we communicate with God. So can someone read this story? Jesus on a mission to you know, rejuvenate our spiritual health. So can someone read this? The mic is coming. Quickly. All those, no, going to snooze can start reading.
Sychar near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, whereas he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciple had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "Now, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jew have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as he did his son and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to the eternal life." Mm-hmm. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water."
Right. So, you see, there is this woman searching for, so this is like, you know, she's searching for something. She's searching for water to fill her thirst, right? And Jesus meets her at the well and says that there is something more. Just like today, we are sitting at the well and listening to what Jesus wants us to see. Like, you know, we are thirsting for many things. Maybe a good job, maybe a good spouse, maybe children, maybe a good future. Maybe we want investment. We are thirsting for many things. And Jesus says that, you know, more important to you is to thirst for this living water, the spiritual being that needs that water, rather than, you know, contenting your physical being. That so whatever we are doing right now, going for work or, you know, blessing our family, that is only physical. But what are we doing for our spiritual being? So Jesus says that I am here to give you a living water. I am here to give you a living or an eternal life, you know, which will invariably add on to all this. This is only temporary, but I am going to give you something very, very eternal, a futuristic, which will never end, a life with me. A life with me where you will live with me, you will be with me, and we will live together. And you don't have to come here again and again. You don't have to strive so much. You don't have to do these things. All these things happen because of what Adam and Eve, you know, or our forefathers, ancestors have done. But now I'm going to give you a living water where your spiritual being is going to rise up, where your spiritual being is going to be revived, and we are going to live together, and we are going to be together for the rest of our, you know, eternal life. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell her. Now, what happens is, in this process of being spiritually healthy, Jesus points out at certain areas in our lives which sometimes may make us uncomfortable, right? When we go to a physical dietitian or something, she may say, "Oh, stop eating this thing. Stop eating that thing. Why are you doing this? What is your lifestyle like?" Similarly, Jesus also asks this woman. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit. Very good. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. He who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So now you understood the context. So she was searching and thirsting for many things. Now in that to quench that thirst, it is not only the physical water. Jesus says, go call your husband. That means he says, he is not condemning her, but saying that, you know, change the way you live. And then, you know, you come to this present. Now, when she says, now you Jew talking to me, a Samaritan. Now, these Samaritans were not actually Jews, but a mixture. It's a mixed people. So what happens is during the ministry of Jesus, there was contact with a group of people known as the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half Jew and half Gentile. The race came after the Assyrian captivity. So what happened was the Israelites were captive or held captive by the Assyrians. And in that process, there were some Jews left in a place called Samaria. And they got intermarried with those people of Samaria. And then that is how these people of these Samaritans came. So Jews were not allowed to marry people from the other communities or other caste, or like how we have now. Similarly, it happened. And then the Jews did not consider them as their own people. But they were like, oh, they are mixed. We cannot get in contact with them. So they were always rejected. They were always looked down upon. So that is why they created a temple for them. Means a church, a synagogue for themselves. And they said, this is where we worship. That's why Jesus addresses that, idhar nahi, udhar nahi, nothing like that. Only God, like, you know, is going to come one day. And we are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And he is going to recognize whether you are a Samaritan, you're Jew, you're Gentile. God will look at your spirit and know that if you worship God in the true spirit, you will be able to get in touch and commune with God. So we need to build our spiritual health irrespective of where we are. Irrespective of whether we are Samaritans, Gentiles, whether we are we are celebrating beauty of the diversity. No matter where we come from, no matter what we do, God is seeking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Can you tell your neighbor that I worship God in spirit and in truth? Yeah. So, many times we may feel that, oh, but how do I get this spiritual awakening? This spiritual awakening came to a man called Nicodemus. Okay. So, once upon a time, Jesus was sitting, and Nicodemus was like a, you know, Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. And he says that, you know, I want to. So he says, this man came to Jesus by night and said, quietly he came and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again. Okay. Now, many times we may feel that, oh, how do I be born again? God told this woman, you know, do this. Like, you know, Jesus said that this is not your husband. This is what you have been living. Change your lifestyle, but not directly. Similarly, he says, you need to be born again. You need to know what is your spirit, desiring for. What is that nourishment that you require to become spiritually healthy? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water again and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Okay, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So now you see how important our spiritual being is, right? Because every time God says, you want to do this for me, you need to be born in the Spirit. If you want to love me, you need to be born in the Spirit. You want the living water, you need to be born in the Spirit. How do I? So it is a time for introspection. I am doing so much. Maybe I am praying every day. I am reading my Bible. But what is my spiritual being? How healthy it is? What am I doing? If I want to grow deeper, I need to know. I need to be aware of how spiritually inclined I am to God. What is God telling me? Is He telling me to be born again? How do I be born again? What is that question that is coming into my mind? Why, what are some of the obstacles that is, or what are the barriers that I have from being, you know, from fulfilling my spiritual needs? My spiritual needs are to communicate with God. Maybe a time of prayer, a time of fasting, a time where I will be, coming like Nicodemus to Jesus' feet and saying, Lord, I need this. Like, you know, I want to know, how do I get to know more of you? And maybe there are a lot of physical barriers in our lives. Maybe there is not enough sleep. Maybe not enough time. Maybe there is not enough, you know, I don't know what. But maybe there are struggles. Maybe financial issues. Maybe there is no house. Maybe there is a house. We don't know. So there are a lot of barriers which obstructs, physical barriers which obstructs our spiritual needs, spiritual growth. Once upon a time, our spirit was dead. But now it is living because of Jesus Christ. And now is the time for us to re-look into our spiritual needs, into our spiritual health. So there is a time for introspection. It also says that, you know, everybody is called to this eternal life, which comes only and only through the spiritual being. Okay, so it says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. How will we not perish? We are going to die one day, but we will be living only through the Spirit. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the Son. Okay, so it's a very simple formula. Believe in Jesus. So I know that I have set aside a time to replenish or to rejuvenate my spirit. I need to adhere to it rather than get involved in a lot of other things which is not needed. Lot of emotions or lot of unnecessary tasks which come along, which can obstruct us, like, you know, and make our spirit dead. So if we want our spirit, our lives to be more inclined to God, okay, we need to have a check of how or where we are. Now, the first question to ask ourselves here is that, do we have a living spirit? Okay, number one. Next is, are we trying to thirst after different things that will allow us to know the state of our spirit? Whether I'm getting satisfaction momentary or contentment, it will only suffice or be there only for a moment. But when we try and we replenish the Spirit of God, then it will remain eternal. So once we are sure of this fact that we have a living spirit, we need to know how do we grow in it. We need to know how to help our spiritual being to grow more, right? So one of the, so it says like, you know, whenever we go to the doctor, whenever we take our children, okay, especially children to the doctor for a checkup, what all they check, the doctors, they will check the height, they will check the weight, they will check the head size of the child, then they will say, okay, theek hai, he is average healthy, not healthy, and all that. Then what happens? This will enable, you know, us to understand that, oh yeah, so if the child is super healthy, we will brag and say that my child is going to be a basketball player. Okay, so tall. But if the child is average, you say, ha, theek hai, but his head, brain is so big, so he is going to be an Einstein. Okay, so like that, we know that, you know, when we check our spiritual growth, this is where we are going to be in the next 6 months or in the next 3 months. There needs to be a consistent growth. So today, after listening to the sermon, we cannot say, I'm going to read the Bible thrice in a day, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast. But it has to be consistent. I need to make a plan. I need to know, like, you know, what is it? How do I go about it? Now, there is a diagnostic exam that we need to. This is from Romans that I have taken. It says that, you know, to know that if I am a spiritual Christian, am I increasing in my love of God? This is just a diagnostic chart. Am I increasing in my hatred of sin? Means, do I have the self-control? When I can say no to junk food, I need to say no to wrong things. Or if I feel there's some suspicious stuff which I don't think is right, am I able to say that? Am I increasing in holy living? Am I increasing in my love of others? Am I increasing in the fruits of God's Spirit? Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness. Okay, am I increasing in generosity to God and others? Or am I increasing in forgiveness? Okay, so this is kind of a checklist. Anywhere I feel, okay, if one, out of 1 to 10, how can I rate myself? Okay, if you feel that you are below 5 or just in between 5, I think we need to relook and examine ourselves and say, Lord, I think it is high time that I grow and I nourish and I feed my spiritual man. And it happens only through Jesus. Okay, so it says here, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So I'm giving you a remedy. First, there was a problem. Spiritually nourished, not nourished, we don't know. Now, we know that by looking at this, we will be spiritually nourished. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. I know it all. Kind of, you know. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And then we can say that, yes, I have grown spiritually healthy. I am a healthy, not only physically, but also spiritually. Okay, so there is like, you know, just so that we can remember how we need to be spiritually healthy, there is a what do you say, a formula, if you say EFGH. Everybody say EFGH. EFGH. Okay, what is EFGH? Is eternal perspective. Whenever we do anything, let's have an eternal perspective. E for, can you tell your neighbor, eternal perspective? Yes. So whatever I do, even if I lie on earth, that lie will increase and increase. Okay, one lie, I can hide it. One murder, I can hide it. But it has an eternal implication. Okay, one hateful word against somebody, it has an eternal implication. Okay, one decision that I make, okay, it can have an eternal implication. So, just see to it, to grow spiritually healthy, is my perspective eternal? So, when many times we have seen, like, you know, people call us up and say that, you know, I wanted to know if there is a good church here, okay, because we are going to move. Okay, so many times people have said, before finding a good school for the children or before finalizing a house, we want to live nearby the church. So where is your church located? So having an eternal perspective where I know that my spiritual need is more important than my earthly need, because I need to be more inclined to God rather than mine. Because God will provide. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. So it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy. We don't know whether whatever we have bought, whatever we have purchased, whose hands it is going into, whether they will, you know, retain it, not retain it. But we store up treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, their heart will also be. Right? So, can we say E for eternal perspective? Yes. So, whether we are getting educated, whether we are looking for a job, whether we are looking for a house, we need to see to it that yes, my spiritual man is boosted and I do not go back into that dead situation. I don't go back into the dead spiritual living. Okay? I mean dead spiritual life. Then, F for fruit of the Spirit. Say fruit of the Spirit. So EF, okay, fruit of the Spirit. I need to, how do I keep a check? I need to know whether I'm growing in this fruit of the Spirit, whether I'm really loving people, whether I'm really being gracious and, you know, gentle with them, whether I am persevering or being patient. It also says long suffering. Patience is also in other versions called long suffering. Means, am I ready to take up that long suffering, being patient, being gentle, being, you know, in self-control, right? So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, say, if we live by the Spirit, your neighbor. If we live by the Spirit, yes. Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking of one another, envying one another. Okay, and we need to see to it that we build in the fruit of the Spirit. What do you think is G? E, F, G. Any idea? Any guesses? Quickly. Grace. God's kingdom plan. Okay, G for God's kingdom plan means we also need to. Now I have received. So whenever we have a good diet plan, people ask me, "Hari, kaise? How did you reduce so much of weight? How did you manage to get, you know, so strong?" And then you share your plans with them, and you say, "This is what happened to me. This is how I started off. The journey was difficult, but this is where I ended up." Similarly, God's kingdom plan needs to be shared with everybody around us. And we need to say that, you know what, I was an old person. So our testimonies will speak. Our, you know, experiences our encounters with God will speak, and people will know that yes, this is the kingdom of God which has come on us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God. Through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors. Can we tell our neighbor, I am an ambassador for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, so we cannot forget this kingdom plan. We cannot. So E is for? Very good. F?
Fruit of the Spirit.
G? God's kingdom. Okay, so we cannot forget that we are an ambassador of Christ. People see us spiritually healthy, they will ask us. They will want to know, kya hai, kaisa kiya, kyu kiya? And we will be able to tell them and be ambassadors of God's kingdom plan. Finally, healthy. H is healthy spiritual food. That is, it says, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. Who are these shepherds? These shepherds are our accountability partners. We got to say, you know what, today I'm going to do this for God. This is what I'm planning to do for my spiritual growth. This is how I am doing. And we have an accountability partner. We have, so he says, no, in Jeremiah 3:15, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart. So we also need to recognize who is for me, who is with me, and who will help me to grow and, replenish and grow spiritually and to make my spiritual man stronger and healthier. Right? So he will give us shepherds, he will give us leaders, he will give us accountability partners whom we can keep a check with each other and say, hey, how is your, this going on? How is your quiet time going on? We are distributing the daily bread. Did you read today's daily bread? Did we read? Okay. I'm just asking. Okay. So this is how we will be on check, and we'll be like, wow. Okay. This is now he or she is going to call me, going to ask me, or I am supposed to tell them this. So I need to keep. So that's how we will live a healthy spiritual life. Okay, and we will be far. We will not thirst for anything else like that woman, and we will not go like Nicodemus asking, "How do I be born again?" Because Jesus has already enabled us to be born again. He's just asking us to grow and grow and grow and be spiritually healthy, just like we are. Because it's a matter of eternal life. It's a matter of being with God forever. Amen. So yes. So let's just keep a check on ourselves and say that, how am I growing? How am I nourishing spiritually? Addressing and accepting certain issues in our lives. Keeping accountability partners. And also remember, we need to forgive. Because it is only earthly to not forgive. But in eternity, we will have to forgive and let go. Because it's an eternal perspective that we need to have. E, F, G, alright, so we'll just pray and ask God to help us in these areas.
Let's pray, and we just have a self-reflection, introspection before we pray and ask God for how is our spiritual life this morning.